It is our objective in this series that you and I would develop unshakable faith in God's faithfulness. Just before we turn our attention to the second chapter of Daniel, I just want to thank God for our praise team, thank God for our media ministry, to our greeters at the door, to each and every one of our life group teachers and all of you who make up this body of Christ. We do invite your attention to look with me in God's Word at what may be a familiar story, but I trust and pray that God will breathe upon it that we might hear a right now word. There in the second chapter of Daniel, you see words similar to these. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." They answered the second time and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and he will show the interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see that the word for me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is no man on earth who can meet the king's demands, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwells is not with flesh." Because of this, the king was angry and very furious. Wait a minute. He was going to tear them limb for limb before. He wasn't angry then. But because they can't answer his dream, he's angry now and very furious. And commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out. And the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is this decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you because your word is always relevant. And every time we open your word, there are lessons that you would have for us to apply to our lives, that our lives might be lived even more so for your glory. So teach us in this moment how to trust you even better, love you more, and love each other. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a rich occurrence in the life of believers. Ty, I mean, if we're not too over familiar with the passage, there are some fresh truths that God wants to reveal to us from his word. You know, God is always at work. Okay, they don't know yet. You know, God is always at work. And he's always speaking. And Melissa, he wants to share with us because all of us have room to grow in our lives. Oh, you're looking at me like you don't believe me. Okay, if you have room to grow, just let me see your hand just for a second. Let me see your hand. Those hands that didn't go up, we can pray that you grow in honesty. Okay, But all of us have room to grow in our lives. And God's word, Alan, is so rich because it informs us, it instructs us, it teaches us how God not only navigates our lives, but how God has a purpose for every place he allows us to be in our lives. And there are times where God wants to use your life as a platform so that others might see the God who is in your life. I hope you got that. Because that's really what we see all through the writing of Daniel, that God continues to use his children in special ways that others, non-believers, might be able to come to belief because of how God chooses to use God's people in precarious situations. That's really where we are. Wileen, have you ever been in a precarious situation? I'm talking about a situation where you look at it and you're like, that is really unreasonable. Have you ever been there before where you didn't ask for it, you didn't deserve it, but all of a sudden you are in a situation of dire consequences? It wasn't even your fault. Somebody else caused it to happen, but yet you find yourself still face to face with the drama. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever had a situation where you realize that not even your closest friends could help you get out of it? Have you ever been in a situation? No one sent you an email to tell you it was coming. No one told you that it was going around the corner, but you woke up one morning and the situation found you right where you are. Anybody in here, you ever had a problem before and you realized that it was so dark that you didn't know how you were going to get out of the dilemma? That's really where we see these people of God. Note I said these people of God. That's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They are followers of God. And in Juan, in the first chapter, we saw how they stood up on the principles of God's word, how they wouldn't compromise their integrity, how they were going to stand for God. And you would have thought that after they passed that test of chapter one, there wouldn't be a chapter two. Have you been there? You just got over one thing, and then chapter two happens, and your chapter two seems worse than your chapter. You ought to read the Bible sometimes. It's right in there. And here we are in the shoes of Daniel and his companions, and they've come face to face with the dilemma. You heard the dilemma. See, there's this king, King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a strong king. In fact, God used him to conquer most of the known world at that time. But he had a character flaw. Did you see it there? He had a character flaw. I know nobody in here is like that. But Nebuchadnezzar had the kind of attitude and character that in a moment's notice, he would fly off the handle. In a moment's notice, he would lose his cool. In a moment's notice, I mean, people walked on eggshells around Nebuchadnezzar because Nebuchadnezzar was just unpredictable. Don't look at your neighbor. Y'all might be talking about them. But he was unpredictable, so much so that those in Babylon, particularly during the besiegement of Jerusalem and these Jews, they have seen how vicious Nebuchadnezzar could be. In fact, it's recorded in 2 Kings, the 25th chapter, that Nebuchadnezzar was so vicious that when he went into Jerusalem and besieged it, he took King Zedekiah, check this out, took King Zedekiah, he kills all of his sons in front of him, and then pulls his eyes out so that the last thing he saw was the death of his children. And you thought your boss was bad? And yet this is the monarch that these godly individuals are now working under. But as you look at their lives and examine their lives, you come to realize that you can trust God even in times of uncertainty. I don't know who that's for in here, but you might be in that time right now. I just came here to tell you on the strength of God's word that you, Dre, can trust God even when you don't know what's going to happen next. that you can trust God, because though you don't know what's going to happen next, God always knows what's going to happen. In fact, there are times when God strategically places you in precarious predicaments because he wants to broadcast a commercial through your life. I'm trying to help you understand something here. Because here, the death warrant is out. The warrant, not just the warrant for their arrest, the death warrant is out to kill all of the wise men. Can you see Daniel? Daniel was like, Daniel could have been like, I wasn't even invited to the meeting. How is this happening to me? They didn't even tell me. But instead, there's a knock at the door, and it's not just an official, it's the executioner. The executioner comes to Daniel directly. Hold on, you ain't with me just yet here. Because reality is, some of us, if we were not prayed up, we would go off if the executioner came down. Hold on, don't come to me like that. Hold on now. I didn't write the email. I didn't send that. I didn't cause that. King, I wasn't there. But yet, Daniel and his life demonstrates to us how some situation doesn't just expose our character, but some situations also expose God's faithfulness. And how mature can you be in a hostile situation? Oh, come on now. Remember, it's considered hostile, but what's considered hostile to you may be a promotion for God. It may be an opportunity that God wants to promote his goodness through you. In order to promote his goodness through you, he has to allow you to experience some not so good settings. We don't like that, Fred. You know, when God puts us in those not so good settings. But God expects his children, particularly children of the kingdom, to maintain their kingdom identity even when we are in dilemmas, even when we are in difficulties, and even when we're in downright unexplainable situations. God expects you to maintain your kingdom identity. At A&M, he expects you to maintain your kingdom. Look at my baby. I'm so happy my baby there. Yeah, to maintain your kingdom identity. At school, he expects you to maintain your kingdom identity. When you graduate from Prairie View, he still expects you to maintain. I see my Prairie View graduates right there. See, to maintain your identity. Listen, saints of God. God is sovereign. So Hillary, it means that he's in control of where you go. He's in control of what you go through. He's in control of where you are. And he's so meticulous that he puts you there on purpose because there's somebody in the sphere of your influence who needs to know more about the God that you serve. And in order for them to see God, they have to see how you handle hostile situations. We're in the text because here the execution is there. And something's very important here. The execution is there, but look at verse 14 with me. King's angry. We heard that. He has issues. We know that. But look at verse 14. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. Check this out. Someone has a hit out on him. The man's coming to take his life. And Daniel replied. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say Daniel reacted. Oh, you're going to get it in a little bit. It said he replied. Some of us, we miss our moments to celebrate God is because we're so quick to react. I'm looking at my friends now. I can't look at anybody else here. We're so quick to react. You know, as soon as something happens, Lee, we fly off the handle. We react to the circumstance instead of replying to what we know is real. Do you know that God is real? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know that Satan can't cancel God's plan on your life? Do you know that God said all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according? How much of that do you really believe? Do you believe that God is your shepherd and you shall not want? Do you believe that God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you? Do you believe that God will be with you? Well, if you believe it, then no matter what happens to you, you can stand in confidence that God is for you. If God be for you, no one can be against you. And here Daniel replies. And look at how he replies, tactfully. Some translations say he replies respectfully. In discretion, he goes to the person who has orders to harm him, and he intercedes for everyone. Just check it out. Verse 18, he declared to Arioch, Daniel declared to Arioch, the king captain, why is this decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to give him an appointed time that he might show the interpretation to the king. First thing we see here, y'all, particularly with the king's dream, is that there are questions in life only God can answer. There are questions in life that only God can answer. I see my baby there. When my kids were in school, Melissa, one of the hardest things for me to tell them was that you can't believe everything that's on Google. Oh, but you can believe everything that's in the Word of God, because God has answers that the world cannot answer. God has answers. The Millennium Prize problems. Millennium Prize problems. For you mathematicians out there, there are seven mathematical problems that have been selected by the Clay Institute that are unsolvable. In fact, they put a prize reward on the cast. They will give $1 million to anyone who can solve one of the seven mathematical problems. Mm-hmm. So, some of you all, you better bet chance doing that than playing the lottery. That's a whole other thing. See, that's a problem with a return. That's a problem with a prize. But the problem they have here, their lives are on the line. And notice, Daniel speaks in faith before he has the answer. Do you see it there? He says, set the time. Set the time, tell the king, I'm going to meet with him at that time. He speaks before he has an answer. Perhaps because he already has the answer. Because when you have a relationship with God, you realize that even the stuff you don't know, God does know, and God is the answer. I hope you get this. Because there are some things in your life you will never feel a sense of peace until you place God in your heart, because he is the answer. There's some times in our lives where we won't find hope anywhere else but in God, because God is the God is the answer. He's the answer for what we need. And he allows us, you and I, to maintain our integrity and faithfulness in the face of challenges when we know God personally. When you know God personally, you could stand against what's coming against you. When you know God personally, sickness won't let you lose your faith. When you know God personally, people can walk out on you, but you know that God is still with you. When you know God personally, you know then that God will always, Greg, he'll always keep you. And Daniel knows him personally, but look at what Daniel does. Daniel just doesn't know him personally, Peggy. But Daniel, when he goes home, he calls his comrades. He calls his companions. He calls his friends. He calls his ride or die. And listen, when you check out your friend group, make sure you have friends who are able to get a prayer through. That's what Daniel did. Daniel called his friends together and said, listen, I don't want to play dominoes with you. I don't play spades with you. I don't play boat. What's that thing called y'all be playing? One of them games. Yeah, that game. I knew it. I thought it started with a B. Bunko. He didn't call them to fellowship. He called them to pray. Do you have people in your Rolodex on your phone that you can call at a moment's notice and you can just say, hey, will you pray for me? And they'll say, I'm praying right now. Do you have anybody in your life that you can call on? Because if you don't, baby, get in a life group. Because in a life group, you'll find people who will come alongside of you and they'll pray with you. Because there are some problems we will encounter in life that will require more than just us praying. The Bible says where two or three are gathered. Oh, I'm in the Word. He says, I will be in the midst. Oh, in all your friend groups, Make sure you have friends who know how to get a prayer through. Because Daniel didn't mismanage his moment. He went to God in prayer. He might have been caught off guard, but he wasn't caught without God. I hope you get that. And so look at it. He's cultivating a strong prayer life. And for you and I, if we're going to be used by God in a maximum way, we too must cultivate a strong prayer life and seek God in all situations. Did you catch that? Seek God in all situations. In other words, when you get there, it's, Lord, I know you've placed me here. I know you're guiding me. Now, what would you have me to do in this place? You know what happens? If we learn how to pray before we speak, God will control how we speak. If we learn how to pray before we react, then we'll start responding in godliness. If we learn, you know what? If we learn how to pray as much as we complain, then maybe we would grow in our faith and others can see the Christ in us. If we learn how to pray more than we post, I said that, didn't I? We would see God move in miraculous ways. Somebody knows that there's power in prayer. Somebody here is a beneficiary of prayer. Somebody here says, you know what? When I prayed to God, he healed my body. When I prayed to God, he saved my son. When I prayed to God, he made a way out of no way. When I prayed to God, he heard my prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and needs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. Not something, not a little thing, but some of y'all know it, everything to God in prayer. Saints of God, when God allows you to get to a place that is unexplainable to you, allow that moment to connect with God. Allow yourself that moment to connect with God so that God can speak to you and God can speak through you. Hold on. He speaks by faith, but then check it out. He goes home. He calls his friends. He tells them to pray to God. That's verse 18. But verse 19, it says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Did you catch that first part of his prayer? He says, blessed be to God. He is praising God even before the situation is rectified. He's still got to meet with the king, and yet he's praising God. He's celebrating God even though he's still under condemnation. How do you move from condemnation to celebration? Oh, you got to put prayer in there. He's praising God because God reveals it to him. Look what he says about God. He says, God is the one that changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He, God, knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. I love this. He says, I will give you praise. I will give you thanks. Why? Because you made it known to me. When you go to God in prayer, when you get up off your knees, God will give you peace. Other people won't understand it, but you'll have peace. They're not supposed to understand it. Sometimes you won't even understand it. But when you go to God in prayer, you get back up, you have peace. Why? Because you know that God has already answered you, that before you go in that interview, before you go in that boardroom, before you go before those individuals, you know that God has already gone before you. I'm getting too excited about this thing. But I really want you to get this, because what is crucial here is our God answers prayers. That when we go to him, notice he went to God initially. He didn't go to him after he tried other solutions. He went to God first, got some friends around him who went to God with him, and God responded to them. Did you catch it? Because he did say that God has made it known to us the king's matter. Let me park here for a moment, because sometimes when you're facing a situation, it's important not only for you to have individuals who know how to pray with you, but you want to have individuals who the Holy Spirit rests within, so that when you speak to those brothers or sisters who are friends of yours, then you can get an affirmation of what God has told you based upon the Holy Spirit that's in them. If the Holy Spirit's in them, the Holy Spirit's in you, then the Holy Spirit will be in agreement to what God is telling you to do. Some of us don't want this because we don't want our friends to tell us to do anything, because we know that some things they tell us to do, we don't want to do. But you need a friend, Juan, that come alongside and say, now you know that ain't how you're supposed to act. You need a friend who will come alongside of you sometimes and say, hey, you know God has more in store for you. He says God made it, revealed it to them. And so here, fast forward, Daniel then has his meeting with King Nebuchadnezzar. He has a meeting with King Nebuchadnezzar. He's before the king. He's brought to the king in haste. Verse 25, Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered the king and said, no. I'm in text. It's in your Bibles. Look at the faith, though. I want you to see his faith. Because his faith is so much on Front Street that the man who's supposed to kill him has faith in Daniel's faith. It's in the text. Because you do know that by him stating his reputation on Daniel, that Daniel can do this, if Daniel misses the interpretation by one detail, you remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar would not just kill Daniel, he'll kill everybody who suggested Daniel come. And yet, this man is putting his faith on the faith that he sees in the believer. I hope you get this. Because there's some people who may never come in here to celebrate God, but when they see God active in your life, their faith can be found by seeing the God in your life. Yeah. God gives him the vision. And if you know, Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming about a statue, and that statue represented empires, four empires in particular, beginning with the Babylonian Empire. That's why the head was made of gold. And God then, I had an image of that, and then the Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire, then the Roman Empire, and then finally we see the modern day empire. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. He sees this statue, right? But then he sees, I love the way the text says, he sees a stone that was cut out, that wasn't by human hands. And this small stone crushes the base of the statue. And the entire statue is dissolved by a small stone. And then that stone grows and grows and grows till it takes over all there is to be taken over. You look at me and you don't believe me. Look at your Bibles. Right there in verse 34. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hands, and it struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like chaff in the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them off so that not a trace of them could be found. I love this because God reveals through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar that, yeah, you may be powerful, but there's one who's more powerful than you. You may be powerful, but you're not all powerful. But there is one whose kingdom is all powerful. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said that he is the stone. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Nebuchadnezzar saw a picture that Jesus Christ was coming, the coming king was coming, and there's no kingdom that can stand up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no king greater than our king. There's no king greater than King Jesus. I gotta quit. But I want you to see this. Because when you find yourself, and you will find yourself, in situations of uncertainty, I want you to remember who you serve. That we serve Jesus Christ, our Savior. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And you know what happens here? When Nebuchadnezzar hears his dream and hears the interpretation of his dream, you know what happens? The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar himself falls down on his face. That's verse 46. King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Check it out. That the king praises Daniel, honors Daniel, but he praises Daniel's God. Don't miss this, because God wants to use all of us in every situation of our lives so that he can get glory through us. And right now, you may be placed by God in a precarious predicament where God wants to use you so that others might give him praise. Here's the question. Can God trust you? Can God trust you with trouble? Can God trust you with those assignments? Can God trust you to go into dark places and shine the light of his grace? Can God trust you? I know you can trust him. Because when you trust him, you don't go into those situations by yourself. You go into those situations with a mighty God who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or even think. Amen. That's the God we serve. That's the God Daniel served. And that's the God who will be with you if you give your all to him. Would you bow your heads all over the building? Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who reveals. You reveal your faithfulness through the life of believers. Those who trust in you know that you will always, always come through. Help us that we are not reacting to circumstances of life, but rather we are responding in godliness at every challenge so that you might be glorified in and through our lives. We commit everything in prayer, knowing that you welcome us to pray to you. And we thank you because you're a God who's accessible. You're a God who hears and responds to your children when they call upon you. So as we pray together, we invite you to speak to us, speak through us, and use us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.